I guess I'm doing the first intro. All right, so I'm Jeremy, and I play Rhett and Legion.
What is the people listening to, Jeremy?
That was God damn it, start over.
You are bad. No, we're not starting over. This is
all
your
right,
shitty
fine.
Failed intro.
This is the Crippled System podcast, and we are talking about things and stuff. I don't have the agenda in front of me.
What episode is it?
Episode 2.
Well done.
Okay, so you, now what, can I go on with what I was saying?
What's no, today's
this,
date?
I don't
this is just completely
know.
Bad.
It's in December.
That's because Jeremy's doing it.
You didn't tell me.
Why did you point at
Jeremy? You just said one of you was starting.
I was going to start.
And then you pointed at me.
He was pointing his finger saying,
I was basically trying
now.
To get you to stay quiet.
Oh, God damn.
You don't point to...
No, that's not how that works
When
at
the
all.
Guy with the sound equipment and the headset points at you,
you
that
you
doesn't
talk.
Mean stay quiet. That means go.
No, I was pointing to
we
make
start,
him stay
start
quiet.
Over.
Worst goddamn podcast ever.
Why do you listen, anyone?
Well, moving on.
Welcome to the second and final episode of Crippled Systems, most abysmal failure in the history of the internet. I'm Nathan.
I'm Andy.
I'm Katie. I'm Bad Horse on the forums.
Oh, are we doing that now, too?
I don't know.
All right.
And I play Circle.
And Katie's husband is...
You know what? I wasn't going to say it this week, all right? But then you brought it up, all right?
Back off, boys. She's taken.
That was not how I meant it. Anyway, I'm Jeremy. I'm Valiant418 on the forums, and I play Rhett and Legion.
And this is Brian, a.k.a. Carnage Few on the forums, and I play a lot of pricks.
All right, so first things first, I think we're not going to devote as much time as other podcasts
have. You haven't given
have.
Your introduction yet.
I did a very, very first thing.
Yeah, you said you were Nathan.
I said I was Nathan.
We want more
But what
that.
Do you play?
Yeah.
What's your
we
form
want,
name?
The
play
fans want
name.
More.
My forum name is Rydiafan, oft mispronounced. Actually, I assume it's Rydiafan because the character's name, Rydia, I've only ever seen in text. I guess I don't know how
yeah,
to pronounce
I don't know how to pronounce
it.
Either.
I mean, it could be Rydia. Maybe everybody else is saying it right and I'm wrong, but I've always pronounced it Rydiafan. So there's the trivia for you that nobody cares about. And I play Mercs and Pigs. And I wasn't going to go into it until the lady requested it.
All right,
and
moving on.
I quit. So first actual topic that we're just not going to go in as much depth. If you want details and statistics, you can listen to any of the other podcasts. But we're just going to briefly kind of go over the new No Quarter, the models, which we got the Skinwalker Alpha, the Archangel, and the Rask.
I think it's R-A-S-K.
Wreck It Rask.
Yeah.
So,
voice by John C. Reilly.
Yeah. I mean, as long as I'm talking, I might as well go first. The one that I'm kind of... Obviously, Warlocks and Warcasters always have the most possible effect for being in the game. I am kind of holding off a bit of my opinion on him, just because his biggest ability, the one people are going gaga over, is the sack pawn for any frogs in his command range, which to me really, really depends on the shamblers. So depending on what the shamblers are like, that could be awful or amazing. Because I do think that keeping a unit of bog trogs huddled up next to them means you're not using your bog trogs for what they're supposed to be used for. So that's either a waste of a unit or an ability that's never coming up.
Shamblers are frogs? I actually didn't know that.
The shamblers are going to be probably.
The,
yeah, well, they're in a
frogs,
steam force.
They're bog trogs.
Yeah, they're bog trogs.
They are bog
trogs. They're fish monsters, I guess. I don't know.
That.
They're not
okay.
frogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the shamblers are going to be bog trogs, so they would qualify for a sack pawn. So if they're the kind of unit that wants to be midfield with them, that's going to be a perfect ability. He's going to use it naturally. But if you're buying a unit of bog trogs just for that, I think that's 9 times out of 10 a waste of points.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the shamblers are probably going to be that type of midfield unit. At least it seems like that they would be. I don't see them making another unit exactly like the original bog trog ambushers. It just be kind of a waste of pewter.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I just didn't realize. Are you done?
No. Okay. That was just the topic on the table, I
you
guess.
Were looking
you
at
have
me.
No was... other... Well, because you were talking. And I look at people when they talk. Because it's the polite thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's got... The three guys, I mean, he's got all kinds of cool abilities. I mean, he's got a really interesting feat. It's very coven-like with the whole 5 inches protection out there.
Super coven.
Yeah, super coven, mm-hmm. really. Well,
it's better than the coven's feat. It's targeting in, not targeting out. So it's like it's his. If, as long as his models are in the feat, it's you can't target them. The coven,
oh, I guess
if the model's farther away, they can still target. So it's the way you want it. It's the better of the two methods.
Oh. I guess I missed that. I
missed it too.
No, that is a huge difference. That's a good point. Yeah. And then it's always cool. It'll be very nice. Also his gun, having Eris's gun, I think is of the three that's most impressive to me because upkeep hate is a thing that is needed. And the Throlg isn't really getting it done. I mean, he's too killable, too slow. Melee upkeep knockoff is nowhere near as good as somebody shooting a foot and saying that upkeep is gone.
Well, and what's his mat do?
The Throlg?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not good.
I don't think I've seen a Throlg ever.
Like, he's not pulling Iron Flesh off.
No, he's not pulling Iron Flesh off. The Throlg is okay for, like, getting Crippling Grasp off of your own unit of Creel Warriors or Gator Men or something. The Throlg comes up, just slaps one in the back of the head, and then off they go. But he's definitely not getting, like you said, he's not getting Iron Flesh off of something.
Maybe if you throw a Throlg at something, and then you rise him.
And then the next turn, you can use it?
Yeah, then, no, if you rise him.
Oh, if you rise him, then.
If you rise him, then he can knock off Iron Flesh.
Still miss. The thing about Throlg is you can keep him behind your lines. If someone Crippling Grasps your model, you can hit one of them, and I mean, it's still not a great way to use it, but you can.
No,
it's a defensive thing.
He gets the job done defensively.
He pulls off debuffs, not buffs. Is what
he is adorable.
Yeah. He's a cool-looking model. I own one. But.
Yeah. Speaking of cool-looking models, the Archangel is sexy.
And almost as useful as the Throlg.
Yeah. No, he's better than that. He's better than that. I don't think
is
it's as bad as people
than
think.
Nine Throlgs?
Probably. I don't know the FA on Throlgs. The big one is he better than two Ravagors?
Yeah.
That's what people have been direct, you know, one-to-one comparing him. Because I think on average, because he's got D3 shots, so on average he's shooting the same amount, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I think so.
Well,
I guess I'm not a Legion player.
Is his range the same as a Ravagor? I thought it was closer.
It is closer, I think, but, I mean, he's got other advantages to him.
He does. Ride by attack is cool.
Yeah. The main thing that makes me sad about him is of course, the Animus. That's sad-making.
What is the Animus?
His Animus is enemy models that end their activation within 2 inches of him are set on fire, which could be good, but the big problem with it is that you can apples to apples. A really similar one is the Winter Troll, which is enemy models that end their activation within 2 inches of them become stationary. And so the thing about the Winter Troll is that if Andy is attacking my Winter Troll or my Molg with an Animus on it, and then he ends his turn and the stuff's stationary, I kill the crap out of his stuff because it's stationary, and I can do tactical things based on that knowledge of my turn. If he comes up to my Archangel and he has 6 guys that get set on fire, and then it's my turn and these 6 guys are on fire, that does me no good. I don't know which of those 6 are going to die to the fire the next turn. I don't know what's going to happen, so I can't make any tactical decisions based on that current game state.
Also, the third guy is going to kill him, so they won't be on fire. I mean,
well, that's also true.
And if the Animus was not self, I think it would also be more acceptable, because he has to waste 2 of his 4 fury to do that. If it was not self, the Warlock could put it on him, he could go forward, and then maybe based on his position, he could do more things.
Sure.
But a self-only Animus on that only has that effect on a Gargantuan one will never be used.
Especially since I was kind of excusing it because I thought a great use for it would be with Saren to put the Animus on and then get up in their grill and be unkillable in melee and just kind of give them, you know, I'm in this zone, anyone that stays in this zone dies to fire next turn and you can't kill me, haha, but you can't use Saren's feet on the Archangel.
Rules.
So I guess Saren could use it on herself and run into his own. And then
that
you
sounds
know,
terrible.
Well, she's immune to melee, and stuff near her gets set on fire. And then again, so what?
So they just back off and shoot her to death.
Could you quiet you?
I'm just saying. I play Saren, and she dies to guns a lot. But then I'm a bad player, so
yeah. That I mean,
that is a known thing.
My Saren, I rarely ever lost her in my battles.
I mean, anything else to get you in the no quarter?
I don't know. I don't know if anybody else had any other like thoughts. Well, Katie, you had something about the Skinwalker Alpha?
I heard that that's a thing. I also just discovered that new quarter is a thing. So
no quarter.
No quarter.
It's sitting in front
it
of
is,
me.
It's a well, new
literally right there.
Whatever. Here's the thing I learned. Jeremy said, hey, they're coming out with whatever.
Skinwalker Alpha.
Skinwalker Alpha. And I said, what's that? And he said, it's for your cavalry that you never
use? No, your medium-based infantry. Now you're just trolling me. You are trolling me.
That you never use because they suck, and now they get 2 hits instead of 1. Yeah.
Which, to be fair, makes them less suck.
Less suck.
Like,
I mean, the Heart Eater is kind of silly on people with Rapid Strike, but
they are one of the most amazing-looking models. I'm glad if UA will make them good, because the models should be on the table because they look so good.
With 2 attacks, are they fieldable?
I would field them. I would. Seems like you'd want to field them now.
Like, that's a Band-Aid? Like, they're fieldable now?
Well, I think
I find that 2 attacks is often better than 1 attack.
Spoiler! The problem is they're, what, 12-16? I'm pretty sure.
Meh.
12-16 set defense. They die real hard, even with 8 wounds. So he doesn't do anything to increase them getting there. And if you're getting there with like two, maybe three guys at the end, is two attacks really worth the? I think it's 11 points for the unit plus the UA.
Well, that's a gutter.
Well, to be fair, what's he? 2 points then?
He's three points.
So yeah, I mean.
You could deliver him with Forrest, with Balder.
The point is the two surviving guys with him are as good as four of them surviving without him.
Right, but they're still mat six or seven trying to hit infantry probably with those two attacks. Because they're only like... Anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure with one or two casts,
they are more playable. Okay. I'm not saying they're not unplayable anymore, but...
Well, they pretty directly compete with Tharn. Do they still lose that competition?
I think with the UA, there's at least an argument to be had. They straight lost the competition without the UA.
I don't think many people even play Tharn. So
no, not really.
It's not really, no. Not really a direct comparison.
Well,
how do they compare to the Wolves or Ouroboros?
they don't have Power Swell?
And there's no such
Reeves?
Thing as
I don't even know who I'm
there's
even talking
about. There's not a Wolf
about.
Lord
Morag.
Maybe I meant the Reeves of Ouroboros. Those are the ones who shoot that nobody feels.
Yeah, the Reeves are the ones that are just strictly worse than the...
Yes,
thank you.
I don't know circle units that aren't the druids.
There's the blood trackers.
Good point.
Yes. That people use.
And the ladies.
And I use the little shrimpies all the time.
Shrimp. Oh, the shrimps are... Oh, my God. No, I mean, no, don't use shrimps. They're bad.
Yeah.
Nobody field them against me.
Yeah. Shrimp that always aim or always do extra power to beasts are bad. You shouldn't play them.
No, don't do that.
Yeah.
So any other no-quarter thoughts?
He pretty much encapsulated it. As a Legion player, I am super sad about Archangel. Done.
Of course, there's also the Coven Theme Force list. I've looked. It seems intriguing. I really have a problem buying a second Iron Lich Overseer, but I got the first one for $2. So if I can find a second for $2, I may be intrigued by it.
Don't you need three to really make that Theme Force?
Yeah. Let's not talk about that. No. Yeah, I'm trying to play a bunch of Kryx. I'm trying to do a bunch of things. I want to do the regular Coven's Theme Force, so it's like because I'm getting back into Kryx, I love the idea of the cheap models, but and I think there is shenanigans to be potentially had, but I'm focusing so much on Scavarus right now that it's hard for me to think about the Coven at the moment. I'm trying to play casters that say Lich Lord in their name, except for Egas because I don't need to crutch myself. Keith.
So have you even fielded the Overseer?
I own it.
You own it.
Well, I've only been playing Kryx for the past month, and so I haven't had a chance to put him on the table. I thought about it for a minute, and then I laughed, and then I moved on.
Which is funny, because outside Kryx, like in my faction, I would field him just as a melee solo. Mm-hmm. Like that guy running around, stealthing himself with reach magical weapons, soul-taking, tearing up the field, that's a pretty cool model. But in Kryx, that's just utter garbage, because they have such amazing stuff in general.
He's 3 points, and I have much more powerful 2-point solos.
For 3 points, I get Gudrun the fucking Wanderer. That's what I get for 3 points. A guy who inflicts a horrific status ailment on himself and can only do it once a game because it's so good.
It is. It is amazing.
It's an amazing ability.
Because what he can do is I can walk up and say, next turn, this guy's not going to do anything. And then he doesn't do anything. You get magical weapon soul taken.
I really think it's something with privateers doing is teaching people about binge drinking. It's bad.
Yeah, it's true. He's a walking public service announcement.
Yes.
Wow, binge drinking sucks.
Yeah. So I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on O'Court? Like I said, it's been spoiled so much out there. Already talked about, but that's all I had, really.
All right. Well, you wanted to talk about SR 2013 a little bit.
I guess all I wanted to say is, I guess we never really mentioned, but three of us here are press gangers, and it's pretty wide knowledge that is out and people are beta testing it, and we're not going to talk about it. I think another podcast already has, but they got some permission. We're going to wait till it's released. It's very much in flux, so people keep saying, well, you can do this, you can do that, but there's tons of feedback being put out there. We will talk about it a lot next month, for sure when it's released, but as press gangers, we really can't. We're not going to spoil things that would get us in trouble because we like our jobs.
Not only just spoiling, but also, like you said, it's so in flux. The other guys talked about it like last week in pretty great depth, and some of that stuff's already just flat out wrong. People are out there and they have this info, and that stuff's just not true anymore. I'm not going to go into details, but it doesn't matter what specific things. The fact is, like, anybody who heard that or got leaked info elsewhere, and they're like, oh, so this, and either is super excited because they like the changes or chicken little sky is falling because they think the changes are awful, wait a month because those changes might change. we don't know. So once it's final and out in January, we can all look at it. We can all see what it actually is, and we can talk about it in depth then.
Yep. Yeah. I personally think it's pretty useless to even talk about something that's not even in print yet, because it's for that reason. It is in flux. It's, you know, it's in testing for a reason. I mean, it, you know.
Yeah. And I can say a lot of our players are very big into tournaments. We travel a lot. So as press gangers, we've even held like a mock tournament where we ran a bunch of scenarios and we tested a bunch and just submitted a bunch of feedback. And then, you know, that version changed some things and the next version will change more things. So who knows what the final stuff will look like in, you know, a month, month and a half.
Are you enjoying the cookies, Jeremy?
I was drinking my soda.
Jeremy is trying to eat
He
keeps like hitting the table with his drink. He doesn't understand how sound works.
Yeah. How does sound work? Explain that to me.
Do not abuse that soda. I made that soda for you.
I'm drinking it.
From scratch.
I know, it's delicious.
Do not, like, that.
Yeah, all the ingredients.
They took my lid away.
With great soda comes great responsibility. So don't pound it on the table.
Thank you, Uncle Ben.
No problem. I have my delicious rice.
Moving on.
If I spew soda on these mics, Andy will kill me dead.
What? Yes.
So moving on.
All right, so actually, yeah, so the... Moving on, indeed, to a new feature, which hopefully will be an ongoing feature, and it's the first time, so hopefully it goes well, is going to be our How to Deal, which a lot of podcasts talk about. Like, for example, I play Mercs, so I could talk for a while about how I play as Mercs and other people pitch in, which is really interesting, but we were hoping to see the other side of the table. Like, you know, what would people do against certain factions, or maybe in the future even against more specific stuff, like what would we do against certain casters? So this week, given that they did take top prize at War Machine Weekend, we thought we'd start out with Signar and just talk a little bit about what each of us, when building lists, when looking at list selection, when playing in general, what's your kind of your go-to things versus Signar? And so, I don't know, you want to start with Jeremy. So Jeremy, I know you mostly play Rhett, also play Lee. I mean, whichever way you want to talk about.
Yeah, Rhett's
Signar.
Rhett's easier.
What's your plan against Signar?
So my plan against Signar is if they put down E-Haley, I cry a little bit and curl into fetal position. But in general, Mage Hunter Strike Force are really, really good against Signar if you can keep them on the opposite side of the table from the gun mages. Or, as I've experienced, if you're playing Raven and you can put a cloud between them and the gun mages, equally good. So gun mages shoot stealth. They're fantastic. They snipe out to 14 inches. They're a thing that's in almost every Signar list. They're amazing. They rat like a billion, and everybody has Deadeye because their casters are better than mine. So if they can range your Mage Hunter Strike Force, they will kill it. If they can't, your Mage Hunter Strike Force will kill them dead if they're aiming. Like, you just will. And Mage Hunter Strike Force in general are just good against Signar. So if you're deploying second, deploy your Mage Hunter Strike Force on the opposite side of the table from the... Well, no, gun mages don't AD, do they?
No.
So you always get to deploy them. Deploy them on the other side of the table from the gun mages and go to town with them. Because they're fantastic against everything else in Signar.
Especially the Colossal, which is...
Yeah, they're good against Colossal. But the other thing is, like, Storm Nouns in general are only good if they have Arcane Shield on them. And they Mage Hunter Strike Force doesn't give two craps about Arcane Shield. So they're fantastic against all their infantry. So they're just good against Signar. Other things to bear in mind are gun mages are going to push your shit around if you're trying to contest the zones. Rhett doesn't do that as well as other factions, so it's something that I have to be careful about. They push you from up to 10 inches. They can't snipe and push you, but being aware of that is important, especially if there's a zone that you need to contest.
Right, because don't you will in general out-threat the gun mages. So won't they have to snipe more often than Thunderbolt?
They have to snipe against the Mage Hunter Strike Force. Yeah. They can Thunderbolt against my infantry if they need to. Mm. But yes, in general. The other thing is, yeah, I mean, non-dead-eyed gun mages just aren't as scary either. So you have to just kind of assume they're dead-eyed if they're playing them. Because they probably are. Other things, their Colossal is fantastic. It's a free, 19 points? It's a free 19 points if you're playing Ossian with the Mage Hunter Strike Force. Praise hallelujah. They're playing a Colossal. Yay, I win. So that's always good. I can't think of anything else right now, so I'll pass on. But that's the big stuff with.
Feel free to jump in when you.
Well, yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Well, I think a core to what you're saying, or maybe not quite the same, but as a Merc player, I know that I think Signar is one of the better matchups for Merc, because despite man alive, let me see if I can get a sentence out.
There are words you're using.
I'm so goddamn drunk right now. You have no idea. Like, that soda I made has as much scotch in it as anything else. So Signar is very infantry heavy.
Yes.
They bring a lot of infantry to the table. And in general, their infantry kind of sucks.
Yep.
You know, they bring a lot of support, like I said, with Deadeye and Arcane Shield and stuff like that. But they're all, you know, POW 10s, not that good mat, not that good defense, not that good armor.
Yep.
So, like, as mercs, I usually have metric tons of low damage stuff thrown out there with things like Nis Hunters and Steelhead Halberdiers and things like that. So in the infantry on infantry battle, I think mercs win, and I think that's similar.
Oh, Rhett wins harder.
Similar with Rhett. And our, so that's the thing is that I think mercs and Rhett are better in the infantry field, which is also Signar's big strength. We just lose out in the caster support field.
Correct.
So if we can make it more about the infantry and infantry, then we can come out on top.
Which reminds me of one thing. If you know you're building a list as an anti-Signar list, it should have Epic Elf in it. Epic Era should be in your anti-Signar list, in my opinion. Their buffs are what make them good.
Yeah.
Like, there are exceptions, E. Haley again. But in general, what makes them good is their buffs. Bring Epic, Epic Eris, and that's the list that you want to play against Signar in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you can, and Rhett can't do this, but Legion sort of can. If you can get your armor really high, they have POW 10s all over the place, and they hate high armor. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and actually that actually ties into attrition, and this is good against E. Haley in specific as well, is usually, I mean, this is kind of a thing in general with War Machine, but Signar in specific is they'll usually have, like, one heavy hitter, whether it be their Stormclad, or a Stormclad, or the Stormwall, or whoever.
Rowdy.
Yep. They're usually going to have, like, one heavy hitter, and then an assload of POW 10s.
Yep.
So if you can get rid of that heavy hitter, or negate them somehow, get them out of the action, then they're going down hard.
There's one exception I should actually mention. I know I keep saying I'm done. P-Kane against Rhett is amazing. He shoots the crap out of our infantry, and our infantry are what are good in Rhett.
Yeah.
So if they play P-Kane against you, you probably need to just throw, likely, the Mage Hunter Strike Force away to get him to feet.
Yeah, you need to get him to feet on half your army instead of your entire army.
Yep. Like, it's kind of like if you ever play P-Fiora, which, by the way, sucks against Rhett, too. You need to make sure their feet doesn't kill your entire army.
Right.
So if that means throwing away half your army, that's better than losing. So, moving on. Someone else.
Yeah.
So I've only played Signar a couple of times because the people who play in the Madison meta, one of them is Ben, who does not play very often. And then we have a couple other people who play occasionally, and they play a bunch of different armies. So I don't have a whole lot of experience with Circle against Signar. But one of the things I have learned is Circle, or at least the way I play, does not have a lot of shooting. And so I just have to get my beasts up there and into their guys. Because once my beasts reach them, they're dead.
Yeah.
Yup.
But that's about it. I mean, with Haley, she's the one that you can't move forward unless you, like...
You pick your action or your movement. You have to sacrifice.
Haley 2 is the one, yeah, where she chooses the order you activate, and then you have to sacrifice either movement or action.
Right. So... One thing with Circle is you always bring two sets of stones. I always bring two sets of stones.
Right.
And so you can get around that a little bit by having your stones well placed. And if you have relatively high fury caster, you can kind of gauge where that's going to be.
You can only get around a little bit, because if I'm remembering the wording of the stones, the stones after you teleport make you forfeit your movement. And so if she's also making you forfeit something, you can't forfeit your movement twice.
Well, but if the stones are right outside,
yes.
Then you can go in.
Yes. They don't allow you to cheat the movement and still attack, right. But if you can get stuff up into there that was outside the feet, yeah.
Yeah. So whenever I've played Signar, they haven't been that much of a problem, just because if I can get my guys up there, they're pretty much dead.
Good. That's fair.
Yep.
But, I mean, obviously, if you are a more advanced Circle player, other people should give their commentary.
Well, none of us play Circle, really.
No. You are the most experienced Circle player at this table.
Yep. Well, fantastic. I apologize to all the Circle players out there.
As a Crix player, I think about Signar a lot, normally in my nightmares. Because if there's one faction designed to ruin my life, it's Signar. Every rule, every ability, everything on Signar cards is better than Crix. Rhett and Mercs have the ability to have good infantry, but you guys kind of get in a shooting match to some degree. And back and forth, you both have advantages, disadvantages in the shooting match. Crix has some shooting, but primarily we just want to run across the board and engage you.
And your best shooting is Merc, actually. Like,
yeah, we can. Our pistol race are great, and there are some P. Denny shooting lists that are pretty funny and have some variants. But really, I need to run across the board, engage them, and destroy them. The Haleys really messed that strategy up. Both of them are disaster. I mean, P. Haley, if I have an all melee Crix army, I should not be able to beat a P. Haley player if he has 4% of his brain working. That should be an unwinnable scenario unless bizarreness happens. So I always have, when I go to a tournament, I think one of my lists has to have some percentage of shooting or some percentage of high magic or the ability to arc a lot of spells or something, because if I rely on two melee lists, I'm going to lose against Signar. So that's one big thing. Also, I care a lot about speed, because I have to cross that table insanely fast, because I'm going to have way too many guns being shot at me. So I need to disengage them, because all I need is a few models to kill everything of theirs. So I need to get a couple arcs. I need to get a couple nice, a Hellmouth here and there. Maybe make a unit flee. Maybe a couple AoE spells. Just something to take them out, because I need to disrupt them. Also, Signar is great at finding key models and scalping them out. They're the best faction of saying, picking a model and killing it in a turn. So I really need to give them too much things. Like I will throw my entire army at them, so they have to choose between 1 and 60 models to kill. I mean, I don't want them to be able to only have half my army. I give them 100% of my army and hope they miss sometimes, or hope a drift goes bad for them or something, because they're going to shoot a lot, so I need to give them 50. And I need to make sure I have, like, my best armies against them is going to be 60 models where nothing's important, so I don't care what they kill, and then I have to formulate a plan based on what's left and hopefully still kill a bunch of stuff. But Raiders are great because they're so fast. They can engage. I mean, Sixes' Raiders are amazing because they're so fast.
No, they're not. They're terrible. Never, ever, ever, ever play them.
I don't know. The last time I saw Brian play them, all they did was fail a command check.
They also need to. I do like them more with Iskar, because then I don't have to worry about that. But, yeah. Well, I mean, that is definitely an issue, because when they're being shot across the board, even at Defense 16, again, shooting Deadeye still trumps that more often than you want. I try to throw a bunch of incorporeal, although gun mages can shoot them, and they're going to have, I mean, when you're a Krix player, everyone's saving their Ion and Holt for you. I mean, it's just, it's they're always in lists. I mean, people say it's characteristic, but as a Krix player, I'm always seeing them. If I don't, it's really weird, and I do a happy dance, but I rarely get to do my happy dance.
I'm going to jump in for a minute, because one of the things, last square, one of the stores here? Yep. Store.
That's what they're called.
Yeah, that's, yes.
That's what they're called.
You buy things there.
A place you go to spend money.
Yes, those things. They had like a beginner's tournament or league or whatever.
Yeah, the Journeyman League. The Slow Go Journeyman League.
And that's actually where I learned to throw my whole army at them, because usually I advance up like in a steady little line, right? But for that, when I tried to do it, I ran up my Feral because we had the little beginner box, and it just died. It just died a horrible, horrible death as the rest of my army stood there and watched and went, well, that was a fun game.
Yeah. Signar will piecemeal you to death if you let them. I mean, when I'm playing against Signar, I obviously try to put my casters go from cover to cover. Because, I mean, if I'm facing an E-Kane, I will wreck an Arc Node in the middle of the table, run my caster into that spot, and that's his home for the entire game. I mean, there's times. And also against Signar, I need to sometimes tempt them. Sometimes they just have a better list than Krix can handle, so I just have to give them, like, what I think is the lowest possible assassination chance that they're going to be greedy enough to take, but still isn't good. Like, I want to give them maybe make them think it's maybe a 35 to 40% chance, but I need to do whatever I can to make it as bad as possible. Because against some of those casters, that they're gonna have an opportunity to kill me. I just have to make sure that percentage chance is low as it can go. But, sometimes when you play Krix, people always complain about Krix is mean and bad, and they have a lot of cheesy tricks, but a lot of it they need to save for Signar, because screw those guys. Because they can really manipulate the game and the board, and E. Haley with all of her movement shenanigans and time bombs and her feet. And then you just have some, Stormwall's amazing. You give a Nemo a Thunderhead, he's flying across the board. I mean, they can destroy infantry so fast. They have so many tools that you really need to use every dirty trick you can. I mean, Pistol Wraith, they don't really like when you shoot a model twice with Pistol Wraith to get a free shot, and then you force the model to only move or attack, and they can't shake that. I mean, that Death Chill is such an amazing ability that I will, if I can just do that one turn on a storm wall to slow him down, I mean, then he can't move and attack. It's great.
Yeah.
I have a question. Can you shoot at a pillar of salt?
Yeah.
You can. There's requirements.
Yeah,
to shoot at a requirement, you need to be either like minimum of, I think, 14
yep.
POW,
POW 14.
Or be an AoE, or have corrosion or fire type.
Correct.
So another way is just to bring Mosar. If you're
circle. I'll grab him. I'll put that on my quirks list.
Yeah,
right. That would be good.
Who's the boss next year? Done.
Yeah.
But I followed. I mean, I was like, I had to take on a. In our league, we did. I took my Scavris list against them. It was really nice because I had so much magic attack that I didn't. I mean, he was playing P. Haley. I mean, my opponent was playing P. Haley, so I didn't even care that much about Temporal Barrier because I just needed to get in range to do some magic spray. I mean, shoot a bunch of spells off everywhere across the board. And yeah. Then Scavris takes a death strike with death of, you know, some armor buffs. So, and also, I mean, that's kind of my general thoughts against Signar. I hate him. Is really the summary statement.
Yeah. For me as a troll player, or even just when I'm playing in general, kind of knowing what Signar can do is probably the best thing to know. I mean, like knowing what Haley's feat does and what Haley 2's feat does. I mean, well, actually, Haley 1 feat is. Temporal barrier.
Yeah, right.
Every round.
Yeah, one of her spells is on the back of her card for some reason, and then she has her feet on the front with a cost. Like, it's really weird.
Yeah. But understanding what they can do is really, really key, I think, in defeating them. I mean, if you know you're going to take on Haley, too, with my trolls, I try to anticipate when she's going to feat, so I'm going to position my models so when she does feat, it's not going to affect me as much, where I can get around that. That basically knockdown feat is basically what it is.
Pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, it's really situational for me. It's every time I sit down at the table, I have a different way of how I'm going to try to take it.
Yeah.
Well, along that lines, it's something that's just kind of occurred to me because you know we're talking about what to do against Signar, and most of us are talking about what to do against Haley or what to do against Kane. Yeah. And so it's kind of an interesting thing. And like I run into the same thing. One of the biggest advantages of Merc player. Is that nobody knows what anything I have does, like, caster-wise. Like, they know the units that they can use. Like, they'll know Nis Hunter and stuff like that. But I'll sit down and I'll put, like, you know, Fiona the Black on the table. And people are like, who is that? What does she do? And that's half my units, half my models I have to explain because people just don't see it. And so now it's just occurred to me, man, I could not name half the things Siege does. And he's a great caster, but I don't have, you know, I mean, no, he's good, you know, like Siege, but I don't see him. I see Haley and Kane, you know, or like Kara Sloan. I know she's got a Weapon Master gun. I know her feet, you know, where they give each other shots, and I think it gives them Snipe too, maybe, or maybe Deadeye. I don't know.
I think it's Snipe.
I don't know any of her spells, you know, so.
I played her once.
Maybe pro tip Signar players. Get good with less used casters and surprise the crap out of some opponents.
I think that's a big thing because honestly, when I think of Signar, I do think of Haley too, both Canes and even Striker too as well. I mean, there's the rest of them. I mean, I can't tell you the last time I seen a Darius. List.
Well, I don't think I could even name all their
cards. I played against Darius a bit when the Colossal first came out, but then they realized that the Haleys just ran it better.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing with Signar in general, is looking at the base stats of anything they have outside the Stormwall, which is just amazing and it's great, all of their stuff has just shit-tastic stats outside of the Gun Mages. Like, if you just looked at it on paper, like, if you offered me any unit except the Gun Mages and Rhett, I would tell you you were crazy and you can keep it and I don't even want it as a possibility. Like,
I'll take the Black 13th.
Okay, sorry. Okay, they are Gun Mages.
All right.
To be fair. So,
adorable else, little child Gun Mages.
They are child Gun Mages.
Can I have the Rangers?
You can have the Rangers.
All right, thank you.
I'll allow it. I'm not saying...
Cricks can have the Rangers. Yes. Rhett cannot have the Rangers.
Rhett would love the Rangers.
No.
My point is, in general, their units are crap. They're jacks. Some of them are amazing. But they're non-character jacks. Like, you don't see them played because they're dumb. Like, what makes Signar amazing is their casters. Like, you put their casters in any other faction except Krix, who has also super broken casters, and it makes the army just broken as all hell. Like, that's why you see very specific casters regularly with Signar, because they're the ones that people know are broken. The other ones are also broken. I don't know about Toilet Bowl, Darius. He may not be broken, I'll be honest. He's not. He doesn't shock me, but...
He's pretty solid.
But Siege, Kara Sloan, they're legitimately good. Like, they just are.
But legitimately good in a faction of amazing. I mean, that's,
right. I mean, that's the problem.
You get these two eclipses. Like, same thing with Krix. Like, as much as you're saying Krix is astounding, has all these great casters. Sure, they're all good. I can't hear you over the sound of playing Gatsby 2.
Right. Well, you know, like, and I mean, that's why you see the certain casters, because you have to have something really, really good to make them competitive because of their shit-tastic. Like, you can play anything with E. Haley, and she makes it good. Like, somebody made this point the other day. Like, you could play all jacks, all non-character jacks from Signar, and they all look amazing under E. Haley. Like, there are better ways to play E. Haley, but anything's good with E. Haley. against Cricks, anything's good with P. Haley. It doesn't matter what you're running. Run whatever you want. Like, it's true. So their casters are their strength. So if you learn their casters and you know you sit down across from someone, you go, I don't even need to see your caster card. I know every spell on that card. I know exactly what you do. And I know what you want to try to do to me with that caster. You're way ahead against Signar. You can figure it. Like, the other stuff is important, yes, but I think the casters are the key.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm wrong, because I'm pretty bad at
that. No, I mean, if you know what your opponent does really well, you always have a better chance. Now, you may have a list that just happens to be terrible against it, and you may be an uphill battle, but if you know what it does, you can't be surprised. And if you can't be surprised, you're at least in a better spot than some people are.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Learn you're an enemy. I mean, that's basically the key.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is some factions, like with Rhett, my casters, you should learn my casters, yes, but you better damn well know what the Mage Hunter Strike Force does. With Signar, to hell with their units, you better damn well know what their casters do. Like, if you had to pick one to be really knowledgeable about, pick casters with Signar.
I think in general their casters, though, they're going to have maybe Deadeye or something that's super good. Yep. They're going to have one or two amazing upkeeps, like Arcane Shield or Snipe. And then they're going to have a baller feat.
Yep.
And then that's mostly it. So I think in general, regardless of their caster, if you can survive their feat, if you can take care of their heavy hitter, then they're reduced to their POW 10s, and they lose the attrition battle.
Yep.
Especially Haley, too, that's your one thing you can do against her is survive her feat, take out her heavy hitter, and then eventually she's going to crumble because she's just going to have POW 10s, and you're going to get through eventually.
Yep.
And I think that's true of most of them, E-Kane, P-Kane, all of them.
The thing with E-Haley is she puts you, you feel like you just got punched in the balls repeatedly, and you don't realize that after that she's only going to just gently rub your shoulders.
Thank you for mentioning.
That's how I approach you, Haley, is a shoulder rub.
Note to self, don't let my mother listen
to this.
Did
you go to college for analogies? Because that was amazing.
I have a bachelor's degree.
That's great.
I'm studying for my master's.
Yeah. Yes.
Anybody else?
All right. Well, I think that's pretty much all.
Yep.
I guess, again, like I said, that.
Moving on.
Moving on. Yeah. You know, we are still learning, so it's worth throwing out. We have comments in general, I think, about this. If you guys think that whole faction talk, if you'd like to hear any other factions specifically to talk about, if you hear specific casters or specific models, like if you want to know how the heck do you guys deal with the Rhett battle engine, or not the Rhett battle engine, the good one, the Menoth battle engine, yes. The Protectorate battle engine.
The Rhett battle engine is good.
The Cricket, the Cricket's funny because when he came out, everybody was like, 10 points, that's ridiculously expensive. The rest are and he's super good.
He's super worth the points.
Yeah, but yeah, so if you have any specific things you'd like to hear talk about, let us know. Otherwise, we'll just pick something out of a hat.
I could talk about four Mountain Kings.
You could talk about four Mountain Kings. I know how I would deal with four Mountain Kings.
No. Any list at all?
Blessed Weapon Masters.
Yeah, also that.
I would throw so many Precursor Knights at them, and Andy would cry and cry and cry, and then I would kick him in the balls and rub his shoulders. And that's not an analogy. Also, my favorite thing about four Mountain Kings is when one of them goes flying around in a car and hits Jim in the head.
That is a story that has been untold. Yeah. We'll have to wait till Jim comes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Comes in. Talk about his concussion on the way to War Machine weekend.
And how he broke my car.
But moving on to I think, the most exciting member of our group, or at least the one that most people were happy to hear, Katie, we're going to unveil another, hopefully every episode, feature, which is going to be Katie's Corner, which is going to be an opportunity for the noob of the group, which as we have guest stars come and go, or depending on people's availability, it won't always be Katie, but it's always going to be Katie's Corner.
Or Jeff.
But just did you say noob or boob?
Noobs.
N00B.
We all have boobs. Only one of us is supposed to have boobs.
Oh, okay.
Right. But we all have boobs.
As Jeremy feels himself up.
Yes.
Yes, and Brian felt me up. So it's just a whole bunch of feeling up.
Get out of here.
So that was Katie's Corner, where Jeremy grabs her boobs.
I didn't touch thank you too.
That's
much.
That's a healthy marriage. So hey, Katie, go ahead and give us a little Andy Rooney. If there's any topic you want to talk about, anything you want to discuss, so you're going to have a couple minutes just talk about it, and then everybody else will respond, agree, disagree, tell you're an idiot, kick you off the podcast, whatever.
All right, sounds good. So something that I want to talk about, and I think it's very important, but I think it's often missed when people are newer to the game, is attitude and the kind of attitude that you bring and the kind of player that you will be. So I have played with several different kinds of people.
Oh, fuck this.
Yeah.
Oh, you made Andy sad.
I know. And some people are just not fun to play against. Whether they're good, bad, indifferent, I guess, they're not any fun. They either get mad or they're just boring. It makes a big deal, and it can decide whether you become a successful member in War Machine or not, because if you have a shitty attitude, quite frankly, nobody's going to want to play with you. And as opposed to saying, hey, you have a really shitty attitude, maybe you should, like, not have that kind of attitude, they're just going to kind of push you out. And you're not going to get any better, because the good people aren't going to want to play with you, so you won't learn anything. The only people who will play with you are the noobs, and you're either going to discourage them from playing, or you're going to learn their bad habits. That being said, I think a good way to develop a good attitude is to remember that at the end of the day, it is a game. Winning is fantastic. I like winning.
No.
I know. Shocking. That's why I cheat against a fool. So I can win. But I had a good attitude while I did it, so he had a good time.
The breasts help, too.
They do. So, do they help you?
Mine do not help. When I cheat against Fool, he's far less happy about it.
I lost my train of thought.
You were talking about how you're a cheater.
I am a cheater. But I'm a positive cheater. in the beginning, I would get really frustrated because you lose just a shit ton when you're new. And one of the games, I actually wanted to rage quit because there was just no possible way that I was going to win. And the guy sitting across from me, who's actually a friend, so he had permission to say this, was like, that's a really bitch move. You shouldn't do that. And after I got over being angry with him, he was right. Even though I was going to lose, it's not how you play the game. You finish what you started. And at the end of the day, there is stuff that you can learn. So, okay, I just really messed up and I lost my Getter X, which is actually something I did at Who's the Boss. You can still recover from things like that. It doesn't mean that you just automatically lost the game. And there's still a lot to learn. So that's a good point. And now I'm just starting to lose my train of thought altogether. So everyone should really just jump in.
All right.
Give their opinions.
No, I 100% agree. I never
shocking.
Even, well, no. Shush you.
You have
I can
to.
Agree with my wife. So, no, like, I never really thought about the fact that as a new player, if you have a terrible attitude, people won't want to play you. Like, that's an excellent point. I lose all the time, still, constantly. But I am generally take it pretty well. And so even people that know they're going to crush me out of the table, like Carnage, who beats me every time we play, it doesn't matter what list I have, still enjoys.
And War Machine.
You beat
and,
him once?
Yeah, I did beat him once, but it was just dumbass luck. So because of that, he's still willing to play me. And I learn a ton when I play against Brian. Even when he just crushes me under the table, like, I learn a lot. And if I keep a good attitude, he's willing to play. So, good point. I like it.
There's two attitudes that I've heard. Well, one of them I've heard a lot, which is the goal of the game is to win. The purpose is to have fun. I mean, it's easy to forget that when you're losing. But, I mean, nobody's like, hey, I'm going to go spend hundreds of dollars on this hobby so that I can win games. You spend hundreds of dollars on the hobby so you can play the games. And if you win, bonus. And it's, you know, it's fun. It's awesome. Winning tournaments, getting prizes. I mean, I could just say it. Yes, let's be realistic. It's more enjoyable to win the games.
I mean, no, but, I wouldn't know. But
I mean, if it's not, if you have fun when you're losing, then winning's a bonus. I mean, you have to just keep eyes on that, you know. And then actually a huge, you know, that I've heard 100 times. So that's kind of a cliche. But the learning is actually a really good point that Katie brought up. Like, she loses her Getter X right away. Bonehead move, feel bad, want to rage quit. We've all been in positions like that where, like, I just screwed the whole game. This is pointless. But you know what's not pointless? Learning what to do when you lose Getter X right away. Like, that's going to happen again, either because of another mistake or because your opponent does something brilliant or there's bad dice. You're going to have this game where you're down, and you need to learn how to deal with that. Like I had at the last Mayhem Cup, I had 3 units total. They were all Command 9, and bottom of turn 2, top of turn 1, all 3 of them failed a command check. Just boom, 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 10, 10, 10, all 3 flat. And I ended up losing that game. But afterwards, I was looking over, you know, and I was on tilt because of that. And I was looking over, I could have won that game. There was two or three moves I did differently. I put a couple models on the wrong spot. I let one thing happen. I forgot to buy an attack, et cetera, et cetera. And I would have won that game if I had kept that in mind. And now I've learned, you know, what to do in that situation when everything's going against you. And that's just as important, if not way more important, than knowing what to do from top of turn one or what to do when you're winning.
Yep. Yeah, because that's the other side of it, is once you have lost those 50, 60 first games and you start to win that attitude still is a big deal. And hopefully you've developed a good attitude about the game when you were a new player. And so you don't just go from being, I'm angry that I'm constantly losing, to I'm gloating because I'm constantly winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And going off of that, I've played people who are very good at the game. And some of them have a condescending attitude, and some of them have a helpful attitude. And I can tell you which ones I would prefer to play with.
The condescending ones?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just checking.
Okay. Well, we got to clarify those kinds of things.
Yeah, you know. Listeners want to know.
Because, and so it's important that when you become one of those players, as opposed to saying, hey, you know that this does this, right? Or, hey, you know, this might be a two... I don't want to use a specific example because it might be too specific. It's a little recent.
Use an example from me when we were first playing.
Oh, yeah. So a condescending person.
Like me.
Like Jeremy. Won't let you make your own mistakes. They will be basically playing a game against themselves using two different armies. Right? So as opposed to letting me move somewhere bad and making a mistake, he'll say, hey, if you move there, that won't work. You should move here. A helpful person would either, A, let me move there, and then afterwards say, this is why that was bad. Or two, say, hey, just an FYI, if you move there, I can shoot you with my gun mages or whatever. but the point is, yeah. You stop at, you're just telling them what they're exposing them to, as opposed to, hey, you're doing this and you must not know any better, so here, let me help you out. And yeah. A lot of that is how you say it.
When I play new players, sometimes it's when it, I sometimes will even ask them, I'm like, do you want, like, how much, like, assistance help do you want? I mean, do you want to just do something and just have me crush your model so you see how to do it? I mean, because sometimes it's because some people want to learn that way. Some people will get discouraged too fast. And we always tell new players, you're going to lose a lot your first few games. I mean, and a lot of us, we've played for so many years, but we're still nicer to new players. We're not going to. We don't want to give them bad habits, so we're trying to be aggressive against them. We're still trying to show them how the game is played. I mean, we might not feat when it's the most optimal and completely break their spirit, but, you know, we're still going to play rough. You know, we're still going to give them a game. But it's exactly that. It's like, if I know they move that model forward, I can just cascade their entire army. And if, you know, sometimes I'm like, hey, you know, I can, you know, or we'll do it. We'll crush them and say, let's rewind. Start without that so you can play the rest of the game. Because there's moves where you just completely destroy a new player because they gave you all their army accidentally because they didn't understand mechanics of the game. So, okay, that happened. Now you know that that's why. You know, and attitude's very important. I mean, a lot of us have played... I mean, I've played miniature games for 20 years, and I can still go on tilt. It's hard. I mean, there's just moments where things happen where you're just like... it's just hard sometimes to undo that. I mean, failing three command checks in a single turn, I think is almost impossible not to tilt a little bit.
Spoiler alert, that may have happened to me and who's the boss.
Yeah, there's just things that just, you know, when your entire turn is crippled and it's early in the game, it's like, because you wanted to play a game too, and now suddenly that game is probably over, unless, you know, like you said, but you thought about it, you had a chance. But trying to, like, just get your center back and going forward can be such a challenge. And if you're playing, but if your opponent has a good attitude, you're more than likely to potentially come back. But if you're playing someone with a bad attitude, and then you just have Bethan go on tilt, then it's even worse because now you're on tilt because of whether it's bad luck, good, you know, whatever happened, and your opponent's kind of a snob. You're never going to come back from that. I mean, so it's important to even, and when your opponent's going on tilt, yourself trying to act okay is also difficult because your opponent's raging against because of something. Maintaining a proper attitude can be even challenging. Because I've had opponents who are just flipping out because they're mad about something, and I'm just trying to, like, find the balance of, well, what should I say?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been that opponent way too many times. I sometimes just
not
really
in the last
tilt.
Week.
No. I've improved a lot. I haven't thrown any dice or chewed up any models recently.
Thrown any models.
Or thrown any models. Yeah,
or burning dice.
I haven't burned dice in a while. But no, I mean, and that, yeah, I mean, we all have to be realistic about our personalities, and you have to be careful about stuff like that. If you're the kind of person that get hyper competitive, you need to be aware of that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I liken it to almost being like an alcoholic. You need to know that you can't put yourself in these situations, and you need to feel when they're coming on. You feel like that, like, you know, for some people, it's easier naturally. You're very happy-go-lucky, very easygoing. Oh, I just, you know, I rolled trip ones 4 times in a row. Ha ha, we're all having a blast. And some of us out there, myself included, you roll the trip ones 2 in a row, and you just want to murder something. You're just so angry, and it gets to you, and it's dejecting. And you just need to, you know, and sometimes it's hard, you know, because I've definitely been in that situation where I've been mad. I've been saying, well, you know, whatever the hell, this game is just stupid and over, and just slamming my dice down and moving my caster up and just dropping on my focus because I don't even care anymore. This game's stupid. And I mean, that's a dick move.
That's a complete dick move. The Brian Giese.
No, that's totally me. That's totally me. I'm that dickhead in this meta.
It happens to a lot of us.
Yeah, it happens to a lot of us out there, and some of us it happens to at different thresholds, but you just need to. It's hard for your opponent because, you know, you're just not putting them in a good situation. No. Like, you're ruining – you just need to remember that the game might be kind of ruined for you. Like, you may have lost the game, and maybe that's ruining it for you, but now you're ruining it for them.
Yeah.
You know?
What I used to do when I used to play people and they would get on tilt, I used to either call my – like, if someone's really mad on tilt, I would actually play less just so they could get back into it. And I would lose half those games because I'm trying to get them – I feel so bad that they're so mad. I'll, like, not kill things and then I'll lose games. And I get upset because, like, why did I throw that game? I'm trying to be nice and I lose.
Yeah.
But what I sometimes do, if I'm on an out-of-town tournament, I don't know the guy, and things are going crazy, I'll just, like, end the – like, I'm like, this guy, let's just cut off his hat. Not his hat. That would be inappropriate.
Depends on the guy.
But I basically, it's just inappropriate.
Yeah.
So I just try to you know, win via cast or kill. Just end the game as fast as possible so at least he can just storm off and have his moment. Maybe he'll recover. You know, I just try to just, you know, go for the – just end it, basically. Yeah.
I think a really good example of how to handle it was actually demonstrated by John Surveys. I want to say Menoth John, but I know they had a title match recently.
Well, he's Menoth John.
So we were playing in the Who's the Boss this weekend, and I had the Harbinger, and he had Grail, and he ran up to kill one of my little infantry with Grail, and with the purpose, with the intent of sprinting away. Well, with Harbinger, they can do martyrdom, and so he couldn't sprint away because he couldn't kill my infantry because I just kept taking in the transferring the damage.
Transferring martyrdom damage is pretty ridiculous.
It was pretty. It made my life a little easy. So as soon as I did that, you know, obviously he realizes that his his caster is sitting right next to my Getter-X.
Good position.
Good position to be in. And he did really kind of, you could tell he was disappointed by it, but he kept the conversation going. And he finished out his turn as if he was going to survive my attack. And, you know, what if I had rolled terribly and he had survived it? It would put him in a great position.
I do love those moments of games where you throw your caster away, your opponent accidentally doesn't kill him.
Yeah.
And people stare at you like, oh, what just happened? I've got like 3 turns in a row where no one can kill each other. And no one knows how to move forward from that. Everyone's like,
Which is another reason not to rage quit, because like, if you had failed to kill, like if he just like, well, Grail's dead, whatever, I'm done with my turn, you had failed to kill Grail, like...
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is he lined his guys up, and so there almost wasn't enough space for my Getter-X to actually get within range. And so he would have just been standing there with his whole army, and I wouldn't have been able to do anything. And so, you know, it's taking a situation that's like, oh, crap, I just really screwed the pooch on this one, and trying to make it something playable.
Yep. Yeah, I think keeping in mind about the positioning that you have of all your models, keeping in mind that even if you roll bad dice, that things can happen still positively. I mean, just keeping your mind still in the game. And not letting outside odds or anything like that distract you from from actually just playing the game and having fun.
And I guess, like, even if you think the game has been, you have lost the game already, like if the game's not over but you're like, well, the game's as good as done, I've lost and I want to rage quit, there's 2 possibilities. Either it's not that gone, you know what I mean, so you still have a chance, or you're gonna lose in the next 45 seconds, so what's the point in scooping and ruining the experience? Like, you know, like, and this is true not just War Machine, but like in board games and card games, whatever, like, if you are about to lose, okay, then just lose. Like, have a good game, lose 5 minutes, shake hands, and go on with your life. Don't poison it by...
So we should track who at this table fails the next time. Which of the five of us is the first person to rage quit in the next, like, month? Because one of us is still going to
It's not going to take a month. It's not going
to
take a
month. I mean, we try so hard, and we are better. We're all better than we used to be, but it's still, you know, there's those moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, and one thing, I'm done,
that should
go
that,
back.
That should be a, you know, sorry, people have their crutch-free and their pain-free. You should have, like, a rage-free.
Ooh. Don't be a dick for a year.
Yeah.
I cannot do that. Yeah. I can't do that.
You know, they would just go home for and, like, week? Just do terrible things or something. They would, like, their rage would be transgressed and, like, work. You just, like, start swearing at your boss randomly or things go happening or whatever.
I can't be a dick when I'm, I cannot stop being a dick when I'm around Jeremy.
Yeah, so, well, no one can. Yeah. I bring it out in people.
His face, you just want to punch it.
It's like my superpower.
Yeah.
But anyway, one quick thing that I just want to go back. Excellent example of not rage quitting being really good. Ask any E. Haley player how happy they are when you quit on her feet turn, ever. Because every E. Haley player knows that everything's going downhill after that feet turn. That if you don't give up, you have a really good chance against her. Like every E. Haley player. So, but the problem is that feat makes you want to quit more than almost anything in the game.
That's very true. And I actually learned that eventually. That I don't, I mean, I used to, I would almost quit on her feet. I've learned not to.
Scar2's feet turn does that to me. I just, oh God, just let me play the game. Let me target a model with an attack. It's just so demoralizing.
Death Jax is what?
I think we should wrap this up. I just want to make one more real quick point. When you're newer, you are losing a lot of games, and so it's really easy to get frustrated, even if there isn't a specific event that makes you rage quit, like you rolled poorly or you just threw something away. This is the 10th time you've lost, and you're just frustrated. You know, just take a minute, walk outside, do whatever, come back, and talk to that person about what you did wrong. Because it's the only way to get rid of that frustration is to learn from it.
One of the local press canners, Rick, his I think it's still a signature on the Private to Press forums, is that whether you win or lose, if you know why the game ended that way, it was a successful game.
Yep.
If you know why you won or why you lost, it was a good game. Also, I love the game Go, classic, hundreds of years old strategy game. The thing they always tell you, it's a well-known phrase, when you start playing Go, the first thing you do is lose 100 games. As quickly as you can. Because you're going to lose your first 100 games. There is no question in Go. You are just going to get annihilated your first 100 or so games. But eventually you'll start winning them. So just get out there and lose. And expect to lose. But learn why you're losing. And then eventually you won't lose anymore.
Yep.
Right.
Ever again.
And that's Katie's Corny.
Katie's Corny?
That too.
Katie's Corning? Like, it's a kitchen.
I said corny. I meant corner.
Katie's Corny?
Moving on.
Moving on from Katie's Corner. We did just yesterday have Who's the Boss. I know we talked a lot about Who's the Boss last episode, like what it is, how it came about, stuff like that. But we just had it. So just quick talk about the event. Andy, it's Andy's brainchild, so he ran it. I helped him run it. So neither of us got to play any games. It was a charity fundraiser. It was super successful. And go into details about that, I guess. Andy, do you remember how much was raised?
Well, overall, it was for the total event. It's for the whole Merry Mayhem, which included Warhammer Fantasy and the Who's the Boss event. Today, I think, is actually going on a 40K event for there, too. But just yesterday, it was over $2,000 raised.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, it's about,
for Toys the Tots. Toys for Tots, by the way. Didn't mention that. $2,000, yeah, which,
And that doesn't include all the toys that people brought in.
That includes that.
Except
it's probably more than that, because Ben Cohn, who is the one really running, he runs the overall event when we do the War Machine half of it, he was counting an average of about $10 per toy, so there was like 60-some toys there, so he was saying that. But most of those toys were worth way more than $10. There was good stuff there, so it's probably more than that value-wise, but that was just that note. And then raffles, there was like $700 for raffles.
Yeah, that went to like a ton of different things. We gave away a Circle Army. There was a Chaos Warrior Army that was given away for the Warhammer Fantasy, and then
someone got Pooh.
Yeah, the little card game Pooh. Yes.
Oh, the card game. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Also that.
Yes.
Are we going to be having a second, like a bonus episode to go over some battle reports, or is that going to be added to this? I know there was
that's
recording
a
day of the event.
We made I think five separate battle reports. I pulled aside a couple of folks, Menoth John, Fat Asian.
The real Menoth John.
And Menoth John.
And the local one, and the pretender.
Yes.
Which, as I put on Facebook to both of them today, it occurs to me it's kind of like Office Space. There's a little local guy who's the Michael Bolton, and then there's the real Michael Bolton. I didn't mean to refer to the real Michael Bolton or the real Manoth John as a no-talent ass clown. Don't read too far into my analogy. I love you, John. It's just the
why
first...
are you making that face?
I love you, John.
He just has a consistent thumbs down whenever he's just talking about it.
Oh, God. He likes you. You're so mean.
Oh, shut up. I do have to be extra nice because I did troll John a lot. I do want to thank him on air for being such a good sport about it. Because we have, you know, there's a local guy who, for pure convenience, we called Menoth John the same way we have a troll Jeff and a Signar Jeff. You know, it's just easy for us to know who we're talking about. And so then, of course, there's this world-renowned podcast celebrity on the internet. You know, it's and on the Private Defense Forum, it is its handle. He is the Menoth John. So it became a joke. So we made a joke. I made up fight posters, like boxing posters, where it was the fightle for the title and everything. So I do want to thank both of them for being such super good sports about that. They played a match. I had them autograph the posters for each other, and I gave them the posters as souvenirs.
There was a week worth of drama, or well, not drama, but a back and forth smack talk on Facebook. So instead of working for a week, I got to just read Facebook posts about the whole nonsense. So that was very important.
Yeah. Wait, oh, and I guess to go back, the wheel raised $500 of that by itself.
Yeah,
$505.
$505 went from people buying double cross tokens. Which there was a lot of double crossing, emergency respins, also just standard respins.
My favorite double cross is when somebody rolled Bloody Barnabas, who was not going to be very good in their faction at all, and then Jeremy here rolls a jackpot, and giggling like a schoolgirl, he grabs Haley too. He's so excited, and then bam. Double cross.
Yes. It was a Rhett versus Rhett mirror match. Guess who wins that one?
Well, if you were involved,
you put your storm wall in a swamp pit. That was pretty good.
I did not put my storm wall in a swamp pit.
Or not storm wall, the Hyperions.
I actually didn't do that either. I put my caster in the swamp pit.
No. Oh, okay.
Because only one can be in it. Yeah. And the Hyperion, not amphibious?
Yeah, so?
So the swamp pit doesn't do anything for it?
It's still cooler to put in a swamp.
I mean, it's the same size. It's just cool. You put a little ring exactly around his
face,
and it looks sexy.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, that's cool. So do you guys want to go over your actual like experiences, what you got, casters? Just quick
I know
little,
Katie's excited about
it. Not whole battle reports, but just summaries.
I am excited about it, because as I've mentioned previously, I got the Harbinger. Here's something I didn't know about Menoth casters, at least this one. I'm just going to make a blanket assumption that the rest of them are like this. Fantastic.
Especially as circle warlocks.
You don't have to do anything. Like, no thinking whatsoever. You're just like, oh man, I win.
You heard it here, folks. Playing Menoth requires no thought whatsoever.
I'm getting a finger.
Oh no.
Where?
I was just trying to pause
Stop
the conversation.
Fingering Haiti, Andy.
I was just trying to pause the conversation for a second to say is that who's the boss, though? It's a really good way to actually learn about other factions' casters.
Yes.
Because you are not playing with your own faction. You're getting something random, so you got to learn it. So when you face it in the real War Machine world, you kind of know what they can do. So you have that kind of little background of just playing it.
It's the walk a mile in another man's shoes kind of thing.
Yes, yes. I think that's what helps the event be so nice, too, is because it's fun to put walk a mile.
Yes.
Play the Harbinger.
So Harbinger, sorry.
So she was really good. I won that one.
Shocker.
Pure skill. Nothing my opponent did at all.
You're welcome for transferring martyrdom, by the way.
Thank you.
I walk over to Katie. It's like, man, I have 3 extra fury on the table. That makes me sad. And it's like, I have an idea how you can get rid of a little extra fury.
He handed me the sheet with the casters if you wanted to see
this. Yeah, and then I had Absalonia for the second one. That one, by the way, I don't know if you guys know this, she has a really small control range.
Did you know you can measure your control range before you teleport Gatorix?
If so, like, she would have had a 7 instead of a 6, no problems.
Okay.
So tell me, are there any 6 Fury casters in Circle?
No.
Surely not.
Surely not.
No, I'm sure.
Definitely not like Kaya or anything.
Is a Kaya 5?
She's a 6.
Okay.
So that one was fun. That one actually just turned into a how long can we drag this game out?
How long can you leave Blightfield on top of Conquest while Jordan cries?
Yeah, and then he won because he had more points in the middle. I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, that's a lame way to win.
Dice down.
Yeah. And then I got to play my bestie with Vale. I don't remember what Vale does.
in your head. Oh, no.
I remember. She was super hard for me because I never... I would forget what else I was doing.
Inappropriate.
Yes, Nathan.
I'm super hard for you.
Like, my mother listens to this.
It had to be. It's right there on the table. He's super hard for me. Like, how could I not say it? It's a penis joke.
Thank you. In case you didn't get the joke, thank you.
You're welcome, Jeremy's mom.
But anyway, she was a little bit more complicated to play. Like, I would forget. She had so many spells, I'd forget what I'd actually meant to do.
Yeah, she's amazing if you play her, like, 10 times. You're like,
because
yeah.
I was busy casting her spells, and then she was out of fury.
Who's your bestie? You didn't even say.
Oh, he knows who he is. Oh,
okay, fair enough.
Hint. He wore a purple shirt at the event.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
There's a reason he's my bestie in wearing purple shirts, by the way.
Oh,
and then my last game was against Fool, and I won that one, but he'll claim it's because I cheated. I'm doing air
Why
quotes,
are you air
by the
quoting
way?
About cheating? Did you know when beasts are out of hit points, they don't stay on the table and kill things?
Here's the thing. I forgot that he was on fire, and so did Fool. And so then he was like, well, just play on. I was like, do you want me to get rid of my beast? And he said, no, it's fine. And then he kept calling me princess, which was not very nice. No, he was good. I enjoyed playing
with
Fool.
You were calling Keith princess the whole time, so I think turnabout's
Keith is a princess.
Play. It's
he
true.
Is. He's pretty.
Princess. But I did a similar thing against, against Chad
whispering.
From Iowa at the Mayhem Cup. There was a kerfuffle in our game where we kind of didn't know how to solve it, and I thought for a moment, and he offered, there was a mix-up with the death clock, and he's like, well, I can just run, like, 5 minutes off my death clock, and then we'll make it even, and I stopped for a minute, and I thought, I'm like, I could do that, or I could have this over his head for the rest of his natural life. So, hey, Chad, death clock's a thing, you cheating son of a bitch. I really won that game.
But anyway, I had a really good time playing against Fool. It was a very good way to end a silly event, because he's a silly, silly person.
Yeah, I like playing against Fool, too.
He's kind of a dumbass.
You're being nice.
He's not going to listen to this. I can tell him whatever he wants.
That's probably true. All right, so I also played 4 games.
What are you, Red Foreman?
Seriously.
Are you like Kill RoboCop next?
All right.
That's the same actor, you see.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Rocket Romano's in that, too. Huh. So if you're an ER fan or a 70s show fan and you watch RoboCop, it's just Rocket Romano and Red Foreman trying to kill RoboCop.
Live and learn.
They don't do it. They lose.
So can I talk about Who's the Boss now?
Nobody cares about you.
Everyone cares about me. I'm awesome.
All right. Tell your stupid stories.
Okay. So I played Rhett. Round one, I got P. Kruger, which actually is legitimately okay because I played against Kador. But I had the very sad fact of playing against E. Haley. My opponent, who is a newer player, actually, Matt, I'd like to give a shout-out. He was awesome. Speaking of attitude and new players, this guy was amazing. We had fun the whole time. He had a really good attitude the whole day. I did beat him, but we had a really good time.
Is that Matt Jajak? Or?
Matt Neshin is what I have written down here.
Okay.
He's from Milwaukee. He's a very new player, awesome. Apparently. So anyway, we had fun. Second game, my opponent was awesome. My caster, not so much. I had 3 Vlad. Vlad the Horse Lord, and I was using a Colossal, the Chimera, who no one should ever field in Rhett, by the way, because it's a 6-point arc node that's not a Phoenix. And then no horses.
It's an arc node you don't feel as bad about losing as a Phoenix. So, like, if you want an arc node you can throw forward and let die after getting one important spell off.
Yeah, but Rhett doesn't have any casters like that, and the Horse Lord's not one.
Okay.
So anyway.
Yeah, it should be noted, though, that you won the worst combo for that.
I did. Yeah, I was going to say that. I actually got a trophy, which is now on our piano at home, that is fish out of water for having the worst caster of the day combination with my list. It was fantastic. So anyway, sitting across from me was Marshall, who we refer to as the Ronin, or at least I do.
You give nicknames to everyone. That
I
makes
do.
Sense.
I
we
love
actually
nicknames.
Have that on Battle Report, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's...
Okay.
Yeah, so I won't go the whole deal. But anyway, I played against Marshall. He had P. Severius and Legion. Spoiler alert, P. Severius and Legion equals better than 3 Vlad with Rhett. I'll let you listen to the battle report. It's a shocking conclusion.
Does it involve Eye of Menoth?
It does.
Wow.
It involves it being good. Also Defender's Ward.
You should have
also good.
Also good.
Did you have something to say?
No.
Okay.
Not anymore.
Speaking of good Legion casters, somebody I saw it didn't win the over the top best combo. Mostly just because without Arknodes, it's not as broken. But somebody had the Witch Coven with Legion, which means when they're in Grand Conjunction, they get infinite tenacities.
For free.
Yep. For free, because they cost zero. Yep. They're 1-1=0, so he's just whole army's tenacity'd.
Yep.
I mean, it's only range 6, so without Arknodes, it wasn't as broken. But they called me over. They're like, Judge, really? And I'm like, yeah, have fun.
Tenacity. So, yeah, third game was the one that Nathan already mentioned, where I spun the jackpot, got E. Haley, my opponent spun Bloody Barnabas, and promptly double-crossed me into Bloody Barnabas. Spoiler alert, again, Bloody Barnabas does not beat E. Haley. He almost got me with a terminal velocity Narn going across the table at a not knocked down, but also not with any defensive measures, Bloody Barnabas with zero focus. Not that focus would have mattered, because it's Narn. He whiffed the rolls, otherwise I was just dead on the table. So anyway, it ended badly. And then for my fourth game, I got possibly the most OP caster in Rhett. I'm kidding here. Sturm and Drang. Turns out, they might be really good in Pigs. I've heard they are. Not fantastic in Rhett at all. I also didn't know that Watcher only triggers once. That was sad for me.
No, well, it kind of triggers infinite times.
Well, with a Colossal that can't move.
It triggers zero times.
It triggers once.
Well, yeah, you get to attack.
Yeah, you get to attack.
I mean, you can...
With Watcher, you can move, not attack, and do
cool
things.
In Hordes, I love abusing Watcher, because yeah. I'll just sit slightly behind two or three heavies, they'll move up, I'll move the heavy back, take a free strike, and then just heal it next turn and kill them.
Yeah.
And as long as you don't attack, all your heavies get to keep moving around.
Yeah, with a Colossal, less good.
No, that's true.
Yeah. So anyway, four games, three losses. Probably could have been four losses. The first game was actually really close. But I had a blast the whole day. All my opponents were actually really good. I played against two guys from Iowa that actually stayed at my house during the event, so I got to know them better because I hadn't met them before that. Marshall, who we love, even though he left Madison, and Matt. So, good day. I had a blast.
Awesome.
All right. My day. Round...
Oh, sorry. And
you
my
son
wife,
of a bitch,
my...
it's Ryan's turn.
And my wife beat me in points, I just found out. Yeah. Andy didn't announce all the rankings, well, but my
the
wife...
The first like, part was correct.
Isn't she like 10-1 against you all time? Like, isn't she just flat out a better player than you?
I beat her in the one tournament we played against each other.
You first...
Yeah,
you,
your dice were retarded.
What did you do? What did you do to your wife?
So
I
you,
beat her.
Yeah, you
in
only
public.
Beat her. Yeah, you in only
public.
Beat your wife
I
in
only
public.
Beat my wife in public.
Oranges, okay. So that there are no bruising.
On the oranges or on you?
Yes.
Either or,
sure.
Sorry, go ahead.
God. So my summary's pretty quick. I'm playing Krix. I have a generic Death Jack, and, you know, cause it, you, who knows? It's a standard Krix. Bane Thralls, Raiders, blah, blah, blah. So round one, I get P. Nemo. I'm taking on a fellow Pressganger, Madison Rick. It's ironic. I thought I was the odd man out, and I thought I wasn't needed. So as we're pairing everyone off, Rick's standing there looking for a partner, and I'm like, oh, I guess I'm playing. Because I miscommunication in my part.
Well, the part where you said, should I be playing, and I said yes, I guess wasn't clear enough.
That's not exactly what happened.
We'll go with that.
Yes. Just stay for me.
So I play
Ryan.
So Rick's playing P. Magnus with his pegs. And basically, P. Nemo plus Death Jack means eventually I'm going to get 7 focus on my Death Jack, and I'm going to... You know, locomotion him and get him a gazillion miles and kill P. Magnus. It took a few turns, but eventually P. Nemo just delivered the Death Jack. Round two, I took on Josh, another Iowan, very new player. He got P.
Not
Gore-
Pink Rhett Josh, a new Rhett.
A new Josh.
This is the Josh I played against.
He had a Rhett with, he was playing, he got P. Gorshe with Mercs, which is pretty intriguing, and I had the High Reclaimer. Which a lot of people say is terrible, but when you can deliver a Krix army behind clouds, turns out that's a pretty good thing. It was a close... Josh is a pretty decent player. He had amazing dice the entire time. I ended up winning the game, but it was he basically had E. Krios' feet the entire game. Everything hit and killed whatever it hit all game. But I eventually was able to overwhelm his caster and take him down. It was a fun game, though. Round three, I also played Marshall, the son of a bitch who left... here. I had rolled Caliban for Krex. He had rolled Grim Agnes for his Legion with a shooty Legion, so I promptly double-crossed him, gave him Caliban, and he actually, tears were in his eyes. I was very happy. I was crying, but for a different reason.
Nobody likes it when you cry, Brian.
No, it's true. It has side effects.
It's a very intimate moment for
him. So we played the game, and it was the game was pretty rough on me because I did the battle report, but there was a lot of shenanigans back and forth. Turns out the fourth round, I also had emergency respin, and I had a couple miles against his caster, but I was down a lot. So I did an emergency respin, popped into Rias of all things, but I didn't use my feet yet. So because of Rias, between Dash and her feet, instead of getting only maybe two Bay Knights on his caster, with all the shenanigans, I was able to get seven Bay Knights on his caster.
With two attacks each?
With two attacks each, and because of the feat, I was able to get Tartarus close enough to also curse his caster. So all that kind of fell apart, and Kaelman got eaten.
Speaking of double-crossed round three, I did enjoy Keith being booed soundly by everyone in the room when he double-crossed Katie to take Thagrosh 1 into his troll list. So he had the stone plus the minus 2 strength over his Earthborn and his Molg, and then he could bring Molg back when he died. So to hell with Keith being mean to a poor girl.
He gave me the High Reclaimer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very resounding. We were almost not friends anymore.
No, almost. But then you did have Gedorix eat his Earthborn, so he couldn't bring him back. So that's all's true. Right with the world.
All's right.
So I forgot one detail around one. The first thing I did roll is I did win the spoon, which is the first time in six Who's the Bosses I managed to win the free spoon.
Note that I don't think we have made aware yet. That's why you won the overall.
Yeah,
you won by 2 points, which the spoon is worth.
Yep. Spoiler. My last round, I got to take on Fat Asian from Iowa, or John.
He's Fat Asian.
He's Fat Asian.
He's a John that plays Menoth.
That is true.
He is also a John that plays Menoth.
I forget what I was talking about. Somebody who doesn't like know things, like just some passer I was asking about things, and I said, oh, well, you should ask that French guy over there. And I pointed at Fat Asian, which, you know, he is French and whatnot. We talk about that, but obviously, hence his screen name, he's not apparently French. You more see the Asian thing, but I wasn't even doing it on purpose. But the guy I was talking to was very, very confused because he was looking for an obviously French guy, and I'm pointing to this Asian gentleman.
So, yeah, my last round, I think one thing we didn't...
That's not topical. It was just funny to me, and as I said, I'm drunk.
It's my turn.
Shut up!
One thing we didn't mention, Who's the Boss had a bunch of special scenarios. I had built a ruined city board, yeah. which is on Museum Minis. It's also on, I think, Crippled System. I have a blog post. We had a couple boards. I had created some trains where we actually had trains moving across a table. We had a couple boards where we had a bunch of shredders spawning around. We had an entire board of trenches as well. I had played John on the shredder board, and shredders can spawn every single turn, and they can be all over the random place. Over the first four turns in the game, every shredder that spawned only spawned on my side of the board and attacked my models. By like the top of turn three, I literally had between his army, I had an additional 7 shredders killing all of my models, and it just demoralized me to the point of death. But it was fun to play him, and he almost won the over top combo because he had rung up Grim Agnes, and I had run up Raven, and he was playing another shooty Legion list, and I'm not having someone do that, so I used another double cross. So I actually got Grim Agnes twice on the day.
Plus, that meant that he was double-crossed all four rounds, which is just fantastic.
Yeah, he never
just
got
fantastic.
So that game went on quite a ways. I ended up losing that game, but it was a fun day overall. I guess Andy can go over like the results in this because there was also some end of day fun shenanigans as well. But I went 3-1 of the day. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, going over Fat Asian's over the top combo contender for that one was he had Raven. Raven with Typhon, with Locomotion, with a little Slipstream, and Raven's Feet equals Typhon going really far, spraying.
Like a foot and a half, spraying three times.
Spraying, killing things, spraying again, or Swift Huntering, spraying, Swift Huntering, spraying, Swift Huntering. It's like 17 inches up the field.
With every
is it just
beam.
A thing that ret players don't bother using that Swift Hunter? Because until yesterday, I honestly thought it was just boosted to hit. I've never seen a ret player bother using it.
Ret players forget to use it, except on Raven herself. Most people will use it, but Raven has it built in, and so they'll just not use it on their other thing, because they want the rest of their army kind of where it is. Usually, if your army is where the feat is useful, they're pretty good right where they are.
Right, because I guess they don't have a lot of like ROF2 stuff. So.
Yeah, they don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys don't really have that many range attacks.
Yeah,
oh
my god, I would give my left eye teeth for a unit with two attacks that wasn't the Desters.
Your left eye teeth? What the hell?
Look it up
online. See a doctor.
I know what eye teeth are, and I know like that's two completely unrelated metaphors.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, fine.
Rub his shoulders.
You need to go to college for Analogy 101.
And take the class Brian did?
Yeah.
Okay.
He'll instruct you.
With a duck.
Yes, instruct him with a
Trebek.
All right, so I guess that topic wrapped up. So now we'll go ahead and move on to the completely off the rails.
We will have we'll probably go over all the winners in the actual bonus episode. We'll have a little more summary because we can go over all that kind of stuff because there's a few more details. We'll have more. Who's about?
I guess the fun moment was that there were like four people who were basically tied to win the overall. So yeah, kind of opened a bidding war.
yeah. There was four people up for the final winning for the boss.
One of like 10 prizes. I mean, there's a lot of things.
There's we'll go over it with that with the battle report on the bonus episode for Who's the Boss. Nathan and I will record something for that. But basically,
you mean we already did because we're so ahead of the time and
it's
so well done and ready to rock.
Yeah. Smoothly oiled machine is us.
I don't know that they were involved.
At least oiled.
I think it was just them two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then you kind of just interjected yourself.
I meant our podcast. Anyway.
That was an exciting moment.
You're a part owner?
God. You just... everything's running smoothly, and then you open your stupid mouth.
I don't have another mouth to open.
Yeah, it's true. It is your only mouth.
Is that your metaphor for now?
Yes. Sorry, Eddie, go ahead.
So we started a giant bidding war. The way that we did this is all the respins, you could purchase them for the wheel, cost $5. And they count as, if you don't use them, they count as points for it. So I brought the four people over and said, hey, all of you guys are within 2 points of winning this whole thing. So we're going to start up a bidding war. If you guys want to buy some free respins, you could do it. And it went pretty well. We actually had a couple of people sponsoring other people.
Well, the big thing was, besides the Who's the Boss trophy, you also had a custom prize from Privateer Press, which was the map of a huge map of Imran.
Autographed.
So, I mean, like I donated $5, and then you brought that map out, and then everyone started grabbing like 20s and started like getting serious because everyone wanted
all of a sudden you're buying that map.
Yeah.
So Justin, I mean, you heard before that we raised $505 just off of the wheel prizes and that. $150 worth of that was on that last 10-minute bidding scramble to see who went one, Who's the Boss. Which is funny is because Brian was not in the winning, but actually ended up pulling it out at the very end. There's over 30 bids for that, which is amazing.
Also, Ben Lang got a superhero costume.
He won the mystery
very
box.
Important. He got a superhero costume, 2 armies, and an autograph from a world-famous French celebrity sportsman.
True. Yes, and a whoopee cushion.
And a whoopee cushion.
And a mouth organ. Balanced, which was pretty surprising.
Perfectly balanced.
Yeah, the armies were pretty equivalent. I think the green and the tan armies both have the same number of mine detector guys and wading through the marsh guy, which I always thought that guy was lying down, like with his gun in front of his head, but he's actually like walking through a river.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
He's also the one that always breaks first because you step on him.
Yeah.
They're army men. He won army men.
As featured in Toy Story.
And a bunch of really, really bad mid-90s video games.
True.
Small Soldiers.
Small Soldiers, yeah. Small Soldiers, which has 2 Wilhelm screams in it, for those of you who love the Wilhelm scream.
Well, who doesn't?
One when a guy gets caught in some bike spokes, and one when a guy's electrocuted.
Okay, so.
So, moving on. let's hear some recommendations. Let's start, Brian.
Uh-oh. I am going to last. Sorry, people are making some noise. Last week I recommended a book series. This week I want to recommend a video game for the computer. Actually, it might be for all systems. I'm a huge fan of The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead PC game to me is an amazing game. It's like $20 or $30 on Steam. It's like 5 mini episodes that are each like 3 hours long. It's kind of it's very dark in the feel of the comics. And it's basically a very episodical story. It's a storytelling game where you're running around. It's not really a combat game. It's you're running around with a bunch of characters. You have to make decisions. And basically people live and die in the game based on what you do. If you know anything about The Walking Dead and the zombie apocalypse, which is, very popular nowadays, because who doesn't love zombies? It's just a very fun, cool,
dark. The people
dark.
In The Walking Dead don't love zombies.
That's true.
They're very anti-zombie.
They're like, damn it, another zombie. again. But no, I mean, that's my recommendation. That game for the PC is awesome. It's dark. It's very depressing. So it's a great pick-me-up. You know, give it to your grandma. Say, hey, grandma, here, play this game. You're going to be very sad at the end of it.
And it's all wrapped up now, right? Like, they're doing an episode, like, every week or so, but now you can get the whole thing.
Yeah, it was 5 episodes over, like, 8 months, and if you can buy it now, you get them all.
Yeah, I'm sure with the holidays coming up here on Steam, you could probably pick it up for really cheap. I picked it up over Thanksgiving, the whole thing, for, like, $13.
Yeah.
So with the new holidays coming up, it should be pretty cheap as well.
Yep. So that's my recommendation. Jeremy?
Okay, I guess we're jumping to me. So my recommendation, last time I did a video game, this time I'm happening to do a board game. I am highly recommending the game Fortune and Glory. I think it's awesome. I said today, and I stand by this for the moment, although I will admit that long term this will probably not be my feeling. Currently, it is the bar against which I measure all of the new board games I have not yet played. It's the first time I played it, I was like, holy crap, this is an amazing game. And I want to play it again all day long.
What kind of game is it?
I'm getting there.
It's
so
how do you
it's,
like it? People just talk over you.
I'm not used to it.
Do you like that?
My job. Okay, so it's an Indiana Jones sort of theme.
How do you play it? What's it like?
It's amazing. You should all play it. Anyway.
Are there alien
you
skulls?
You play as a character.
You
if you're Keith,
ignored Annie. That was not very
I
nice.
Did. That's true. And if you're Keith,
are there crystal alien skulls?
Oh, God. Would you guys just let me finish one thought?
No.
I am done. Moving on.
No, go on.
No.
Crap. All right, good. I'll jump in.
Yes.
It's an amazing game.
It is a fun game.
It's really good.
It's a good, like, a not a party game like, you know, Trivial Pursuit or, like, Guest Church or something like that, but it's a fairly, well, it's like Zombie Side or something like that, where it's a more casual, fun game as opposed to, like, a heavy, strategic, deep,
very thematic.
Game.
I mean, it's literally like playing Indiana Jones.
Yep. Yeah, I would agree. And like, while the characters aren't balanced, the game in general is just fun enough that it doesn't matter that it's not like... Like, there is one character that's probably the best character. Keith refuses to play anyone else because he's a power gamer. But that's okay, because the game is still fun even if you're not that
character.
The character
I played has had an eye patch.
That
and
is
I don't
true.
Care about game balance. I had an eye patch.
Exactly. You and get, it is that sort of game.
You get to fight Nazis?
Yup. Or possibly thugs, mobsters.
If you're dumb and play the wrong version of
it. Well, yeah, it's better with the... Yeah.
Like, why would you play against the Mafia when you could play against Nazis?
Public service announcement. We played against the mobsters, not as fun as against the Nazis.
There should be a Rocketeers-based scenario where
yes!
you play against both. Like, you're playing against the mobsters, and then the mobsters join you against the Nazis because even mobsters love America.
Yes.
And then Jennifer Connelly's super hot, and it was a very important movie in my formative
now
years.
Now I want to go watch Rocketeer.
we've upgraded
sorry,
you.
Did I go off the rails there?
He's recommending
what
them.
What kind of importance, Nathan?
I masturbated to it a lot, is what I'm saying.
Oh, do not put this on
hey,
Facebook.
Hey, Jeremy's mom. Just so you know, Nathan does masturbate to Jenny Collins.
I said I did when I was 12.
Right now it's happening. It's yes. disgusting.
Please God edit that out, Andy.
No. Right. No, you shouldn't.
Your turn, Katie.
I would recommend, it's a video game, but I don't think of it as a video game like Halo or I don't know, Borderlands. That's something that people play now. Borderlands. Is Civ 5. It's very relaxed. You can go as fast as you want. I got it for my dad for Christmas because he likes to play games and watch TV at the same time. But it's something that Jeremy and I can do together because I can tell him what to do and he will just do it.
Like the rest of my life.
It's a bonding experience. but it's really enjoyable. I really enjoy it. It's a good game. Nathan disagrees with my recommendation.
No. I love the Civ series. I haven't played Civ 5 recently. When it first came out, I played it and it was pretty... buggy, like the going joke is like, this is a great beta, I can't wait till an actual game comes out, you know, which unfortunately is more and more common nowadays with PC games. They push them out and then it rely on patches to fix them. But I am super addicted to Civ 4 with the Warlords expansion. I mean, I'll give Civ 5 another shot, see how I like it, but the beauty of the Civ series is that they're all very subtly different, and since they're not like super graphic intensive games, like you can still go back and play Civ 1 or Civ 2, and they're perfectly fine games.
Yeah. Well, for anyone that maybe hasn't heard of these series, because we're talking about people, it's actually Civilization 5.
For those three people in the world.
Well, right,
who
but
don't
my,
know
my point is, if you're looking for this game because you like the recommendation, it's actually called Civilizations 5.
Yes. And it's a strategy game. It's turn-based, so there's no like speed necessary or anything like that. It's a lot
single
of fun.
Player. I mean, you can play multiplayer, but it's designed for you versus the computer.
Thank you, Katie.
You're welcome.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
I guess there's a theme this episode, because I'm also going to recommend a video game. Mine's a little older, except a like special edition of it just came out a little bit ago, which is Persona 4. Or Persona 3. I like them both. If you're a fan of RPGs, the Persona ones are really cool. They are and you're going to turn this off instantly after I say this next sentence, but I swear it's better than it sounds. Combination RPGs and dating simulators. Because the way the games work is that there are a set number of days that the plot takes, like, you know, 200 or whatever. And during the day, you choose a person to go out and interact with and basically just hang out with. And they're not like hentai dating things. It's just like going to the mall with your buddy or going to chess class.
Can you explain what hentai is for those of us?
No. No.
There is no way that Jeremy's mom needs to know what hentai is. It's no.
No.
But
I'm on the forum with her on hentai.
Now, you play Legion. Have you seen Proteus? There's hentai.
No, the throne.
Oh, my God.
No, okay, well, stop.
Stop.
But we're done. But the point is, it's, you know, what's cool is that in the day, oh, my God, guys. So I feel like Jeremy here. I'm trying to finish a thought. I'm like Jeremy, but better looking and better at the game. But during the day, you go out.
One of those
and
is not
you,
true.
Like, that, one of those is not true. During the day, you go out and you, like, cultivate a relationship with somebody. And at night, you basically do, like, a dungeon crawl. And it's like a tower-style dungeon where the higher you get, the more you get. Why is that funny, dungeon crawl? Like, that's not even dirty.
Her pants are the dungeon?
Her pants are a dungeon? Like, I thought you were an analogy professor. How does she have dungeon pants?
She crawled them.
And they're, like, damp and dark.
Oh,
They're like parachute pants, but you have to find your way through. And when you get to the middle,
for
you win a prize.
Joining us after the edit, Nathan, carry on.
So combat's fun. It's a super solid RPG. It's got a great plot. It's got great combat system. One of the nice things, like, you have three player parties. The main character always has to be one of the characters, but the other two are basically AI controlled. But they have strategic things. But your day decisions matter because as you build relationships with characters, they give you in-game benefit bonuses in the combat portion. You get higher stats. You get new spells. And Katie's going to interject with something awful again.
No, you continue.
You know what? I'm done. Anybody who likes... God, this is what it feels like to be Jeremy.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't it suck?
This is what I do to people. Anybody who likes RPGs...
Hentai.
Anybody who likes RPGs... Try Persona 3 or Persona 4. They're super, super fun games. They're a blast.
What systems are they available for?
Oh, I have them on the PlayStation 3. I think they might be multi-console.
And for the RPG, aren't there like 100 characters? Like, is it just a character selection?
No. It's like 8 people. You're thinking of like the Suikodens or something like that. Like Persona has very few characters. It's like the right amount because it's kind of like Chrono Trigger level where there's like 7 or 8 characters. You've got 3 at a time. There's few enough that they're all plot important and you grow attached to them, but there's enough to have strategy with who you switch in and out. So I think it's like 8 or 9 characters. 2.5 parties worth of characters is the right number of characters to have in an RPG, I think. So, like, Final Fantasy 3, 6, whichever Pierce you want to call it, has, like, the same kind of thing, where you have enough for, like, 2.5 parties. When you have the Suikoden level of, hey, I have 300 playable characters, it gets to the point of, who gives a shit about the newest guys when they come along? Like, hi, I'm new to your party. Let me see your stats. You suck. You're going to the bank. Like, you have no plot concern whatsoever to them.
Okay.
Yeah, so there. There's your answer. Shut up, Katie. It's Andy's turn.
I really don't have anything to recommend. No, I'm not recommending Sorry Sliders. I know you really, really, really like Sorry Sliders. I'm not going to recommend that. Probably the, I don't know.
Wood glue?
No wood glue either.
You could recommend Borderlands 2 again.
God.
I didn't actually recommend Borderlands 2. We just kind of talked about it a little bit. We should actually talk about that eventually again. But one of the things...
My favorite thing, and this shows the kind of people we are, is like we talked about all that whole time last episode, and then on the forum somebody's like, you never actually said what it was. You all just giggled and talked about how much you liked it.
Yeah.
It's a first-person shoot and loot, so it's like Diablo 3 it was first-person and funny and awesome and had a diamond-encrusted pony named Butt Stallion.
Yes. So... Kind of going off the rails from everyone else. Everyone's
we're on rails?
Yes, yes.
Are there rails anywhere near us right now?
Everyone was basically recommending video games. I'm going to recommend a movie that you probably haven't seen or heard of, and that is Drop Dead Gorgeous.
I've seen it. That is an amazing movie.
God, I disagree with this recommendation.
It is so good.
Oh. It is the best documentary that you'll ever see about a beauty pageant. And you must see it.
It is amazing.
It is an amazing film. It's a great documentary about the Midwest as well.
Listening to this, you're probably a heterosexual male, because that's going to be the main thing. And you're going to be like, I'm not going to watch Drop Dead Gorgeous. Shut up. You should watch it.
If you like Clue or Young Frankenstein, you'll probably like Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Yeah, it's in the same vein for a mockumentary like Spinal Tap, like a lot of those, Mighty Wind. Yep. It's in the same type of mockumentary, but it is just amazing. The cast of characters in there is awesome. Will Sasso, you got Kirstie Alley, Kirsten Dunst. She's awesome.
I think it's a movie we saw kind of on accident, but just loved it. Like, we didn't purposely go out to see it.
I own it.
That's your cover
because
story.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't mean to watch Drop Dead Gorgeous. Oops. Yeah, no, you did it on purpose. Don't lie.
What's her name is in this too?
I love what's
Charlie
her name?
Sheen's ex-wife.
Oh, Denise Richards?
Yes.
She's a nuclear physicist. Nuclear physicist. Christmas Jones. The dumbest Bond girl name ever. She has a stupid name just for one pun at the end of the stupid crappy movie.
Isn't that what most of their names are from?
No. It wasn't just, Christmas came early this year. It's like, that's the only reason you named your character Christmas Jones.
I get it now.
Yeah. What does it mean,
I don't want to watch that movie.
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Along the lines of movies that heterosexual males aren't going to want to admit they should watch, for the love of God, go see Mean Girls. That movie's amazing.
Yeah, I agree. That was pretty good.
Well, you do see for one inappropriate reason.
Not Mean Girls 2.
No.
Which is on Netflix.
No. So avoid that, then. Cancel your Netflix account.
All right. Do we have any other random off-topicness?
Really super have to pee. That's off-topic.
Done.
Yeah.
Off-topic. Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for listening. For those of you that stuck around for the off-topic stuff, and we'll talk to you again.
And that noise you hear is Brian specifically getting to the bathroom before me. He probably doesn't even have to go to the bathroom. He's just going to lock the door so I have to cry and pound on it.
I think Jeremy should go run upstairs and get to the bathroom before you can get to the other bathroom in the house, too.
That sounds like a plan. I'll just go pee in the backyard.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, we're done.
Thanks for listening. You're welcome.
Yep.
Yep. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.